Well, the first of the presidential debates is this Tuesday. It's a fact that fills reporter Alice Furlow with dread.
In a recent New York Times book review about Aaron Burr, who killed Alexander Hamilton in 1804, the reviewer wrote, "Today one is horrified at the thought of the Vice President of the United States killing a political rival in a duel." I'm not horrified. Why, if our Vice President and his political rival fought it out in one-to-one combat to the death, it would spare us all these boring debates and speeches and public kissing of wives and mothers. So I took the ferry over to Weehawken, New Jersey, where the Burr-Hamilton duel took place, to see if I could interest anybody in staging a Gore-Bush duel over there. Weehawken is a quiet, old-fashioned town right across the river from Midtown Manhattan. Most of the town is built at the top of tall rock cliffs, and 7/10 of one of its 1.7 square miles are under the river. I learned all that from Mr. Edward A. Fleckenstein. He's 80 years old, and he and his younger brother George live in the big 1899 Tudorish house where they were born. Mr. Edward Fleckenstein is Weehawken's historian.
I get it by default. There are 20 or 25 people who know more about it than I do, but they're all dead.
The Fleckenstein brothers met me at the door. They're both bachelors, tall and straight-backed in suits and ties. Before I dared mention my modest proposal of a Bush-Gore duel, I asked Mr. Edward Fleckenstein about the site of the Burr-Hamilton duel.
I'll show you where the duel was held. It was the custom of New Yorkers who had a grudge against one another to come over here to the elderly gentleman, Mr. King's estate, and use the shore down below as a dueling ground. Not that he wanted it that way, and it had infuriated him, but it happened also that he didn't know about it until it was all over because he was on top of the cliff here.
The Fleckenstein's house is right on that cliff, part of the former King estate. The perfect setting for history to repeat itself, I thought. Suppose Gore and Bush decided to end all this boring debating and actually decided to have a duel.
If you'd ask me, I would say the modern politician would be slow to put his life on the line.
That was Mr. George Fleckenstein. He's a keen history enthusiast, but his brother Edward is the acknowledged Burr-Hamilton expert. Mr. Edward is clearly on the side of Hamilton, but he admits that Hamilton had provoked Burr with a series of needling comments. Burr finally snapped when he heard that Hamilton had, quote, a despicable opinion of him.
Among the things he accused Burr of, this was one of the less vicious ones.
Mm-hmm.
And Burr just picked on that.
And he was vice president.
That was going on for years, too, between the two of them.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Vice President Gore could kind of reenact the same for real.
Oh, my, you have an imagination there.
What do you think?
Well, we're talking 200 years after that event.
So far, I hadn't succeeded in interesting the brothers Fleckenstein in a Bush-Gore duel. And to be quite honest, I was starting to be more interested in the Fleckenstein family.
We were in business in Jersey City. We had a provision factory, meatpacking plant. Matter of fact, a leading one in the state of New Jersey. It held its own with Swift and Armour and all of them.
If meatpacking doesn't sound terribly aristocratic, you should see the pictures of the Fleckenstein's ancestral home, Castle Fleckenstein, in Alsace, France.
Yes, it was neglected as far as tourism goes until about the 1960s. Then somebody, a school teacher there in the little town of Lembach, got the idea of revitalizing the Castle Fleckenstein. It's a ruin. And tournaments are held up there. And limited restoration work is done on the castle. That's a German dueling sword, a Heidelberg dueling sword.
Oh!
It's been in the family at least 70, 80 years.
Yeah. It really looks like the Three Musketeers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's huge. Oh, my goodness.
What do you notice?
Oh, how magic. Oh, it's heavy, too.
They didn't stab, they just slashed.
Now, here was an opportunity to bring up a possible presidential gunfight.
What about the dueling pistols? Where are they?
I wish I knew. That's all right. I'll bring that up. Let somebody research that.
You see,
Gore and Bush, if they could find them, they could use the very one.
Well, that is thought-provoking.
It would end the thing so simply.
Well, yes, it would end it.
Without all this fuss of campaign buses and so debates and all their wives getting all dressed up.
Wouldn't end it for us, but end it for them.
One
anyway.
Was my dual 2000 idea beginning to grab Mr. Fleckenstein? Or was he just being polite? Anyway, we all went out to look for the possible site of the Burr-Hamilton duel. All that's known about it is that it was at the river's edge somewhere. And the one authentic relic that was down by the river has been moved up to the cliff. That is the rock on which the mortally wounded Hamilton laid his head while waiting for the boat to take him back to New York City. This rock is directly across the river from the Empire State Building. Here is the whole skyline of Manhattan.
Yes, we
right
are.
In front of it.
Right in front of us. It's unbelievable.
We can go in here, can't we, George?
Oh, they've locked us up.
The stone is behind a locked iron gate, and the inscription on it faces the river, invisible from the road. Mr. George Fleckenstein convinced a young man observing the scene to climb up over the iron spikes and dictate the inscription to me.
Here, I'll hold the equipment for you.
Very good. The gentleman's going to make it over the fence here. I don't know why this fence has to be locked here.
So the inscription now reads, on this sort of brownstony-looking large, practically as large as Plymouth Rock stone, upon this stone rested the head of the patriot, soldier, statesman, and jurist, Alexander Hamilton, after the duel with Aaron Burr.
And that stone was down at the dueling site. I always went along with the idea that that stone was something authentic from the time of the first incident.
It looks authentic, except horribly uncomfortable.
I can see them leaning him up against it, sitting up.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see how he could have rested his head lying down.
More likely he was sitting up, more likely.
That stone made me face for the first time the gruesome aspect of an actual Bush-Gore duel. And there was more.
Another very strange thing about all this, rather horrible, is that Alexander's son, Philip Hamilton, was also killed here in a duel some years before his father.
Before his father?
Before his father, yes.
In Weehawken.
In Weehawken, yes. He was killed right here on the dueling grounds.
Oh.
In a pistol duel.
Good heavens, that's most amazing. Poor Mrs. Hamilton. She had a lot of sadness in her life.
Right, she did.
In the Fleckenstein Oldsmobile, with Mr. George at the wheel, we took off for the most likely site of both those duels. Even though the actual site has never been officially named, Mr. Edward Fleckenstein has painstakingly worked out that it's in a parking lot at the Weehawken entrance to the Lincoln Tunnel.
So we've come out on Boulevard East, and we're right near the administration building up for the Lincoln Tunnel. Now, there were outcroppings below the bluff, as you can see here, and there was a shelf right around here. We may even be on it. We are, I would say, within 100 feet of the dueling site of the Hamilton-Burr duel.
I was about to bring up the now rather tedious subject of a Gore-Bush duel when Mr. George Fleckenstein beat me to it.
I imagine the duel was early in the morning, so I suggest we get up here when the sun is just rising, and there won't be any cars in this parking lot, and we can put on the stage here for the re-representation of the duel.
And Mr. Edward Fleckenstein gamely took up the idea.
But to get the real Gore and the real Bush, my own idea is to have stand-ins for them. I think that would bring quite a crowd out. You'd have...
I don't think it would be half as much fun as the real people.
Yeah, I know that, but the civilization being what it is, we've advanced somewhat since those days.
I thought of answering that only a fight to the death would satisfy our gun-loving public, especially people who enjoy TV programs like Celebrity Deathmatch and the Tough Man competition. But by now, the Fleckenstein brothers fascinated me more than duels, ancient or modern. Mr. Edward Fleckenstein has an intimate knowledge of every one of Weehawken's rocks and rills. Well, one rock, anyway.
I ascended this cliff in August 1937 when I was 17 and a half. I think I'm the only one that ever climbed the steep cliff. I saw a rope one day, and I followed the rope right in there. Workmen had left it there, and I thought, gee, that's going to help me up the cliff. But then the rope came to an end. And so I couldn't tie it to anything, and I kept going up. And believe it or not, as in the movies, I got to the point where I couldn't go up or down, and I saw a weed growing out of a crag just above me and just within my reach. And I grabbed it and pulled myself up to the next ledge, and gradually made it to the top.
We passed that cliff. Gosh, I guess Mr. Fleckenstein is more into extreme sports than extreme politics, like dueling. So I said a sad goodbye to the brothers and headed for the ferry to New York. There, mindful of my assignment, I sounded out one last Weehawkenite on the duel idea. Reg, the ferry building supervisor.
Hello.
Hello.
Some strange people have been talking about trying to encourage Vice President Gore and Governor Bush to have a duel right here in Weehawken. Would your ferry be able to handle the extra traffic coming over to see us?
We'll be able to handle it, no doubt. Not that I'm giving you okay, but yeah, we'll be able to handle the traffic.
Reg took the idea in stride, if he took it in at all. So when I got home, I called both candidates' campaign staff to see if I could interest them in a duel. For some reason, neither office called me back.
Well, the debates don't start until Tuesday, so there's still time to amend the schedule. Maybe get the candidates over to Weehawken and have them meet at dawn. Perhaps carry out reporter Alice Furlow's suggestion. And here's a warning to Rick Lazio. Don't be surprised if you find out that Hillary Clinton has been taking fencing lessons at the 92nd Street Y. And we hear also that she doesn't stab, she slashes.
Ready? Fence.
Well, fencing is alive and well on West 21st Street at the Metropolis Fencing Club. If you go there, you stand a pretty good chance of running into Ruby Watson. She's a champion fencer.